Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you beautiful people. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. I'm so pumped today. I have one of my good friends and fellow Palmer grads, Dr. Kaylee Armour, joining us. She is joining us from Montana, and she is going to share with us some of her entrepreneurship journey and the hurdles that she's went through, not only building a seven-figure practice with her husband, but moving to a town where she knew nobody and starting that process, and then also transitioning and having this new identity of becoming a mom along the way while you still have these really big goals and ambitions that you're striving for. So thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be here and get to spend time chatting with you.
Yeah. So tell the listeners how you got into entrepreneurship.
It wasn't the initial thing we wanted to do when my husband and I, we met in school, just like you and Kyle did. And initially we actually were going to move back to my husband's dad's a chiropractor. So our first plans were to move back and work in his practice. And so that was how that started. And to make a long story short, when that didn't work out, we ended up moving out to Montana and getting into an associateship. Again, entrepreneurial wasn't really on our brain at this point, but like many people who'd graduate chiropractic school and get into an associateship, you come out on fire with all these ideas and you're ready to grow and reach the world and serve the masses. And in this associateship, we were a little stifled, I think. And that really planted the seed of entrepreneurship and just that realization that we had ideas bigger than just working for someone else. And so is that diamond under pressure, right? Where we were under all this pressure and we wanted to grow and it wasn't happening. So that's how we decided to open our own practice, was just sort of being stifled.
Did you open in the town that you had an associateship?
Yeah, we moved to the town actually where I had done my preceptorship, and we were working for an office here, a good office. And when we both were in the practice, Andy and I were a strong partnership. We really leverage ideas off each other. We're constantly pushing each other to the next level. And I think we just outgrew that position really quickly. And so I think the hardest thing for us, once we realized we wanted to open a practice, was where the heck do we actually do this? Because we were in a really small town. It's 10,000 people. It's grown since the last 8 years, but when we first got there, there was a lot of reasons not to open there. And so just like the current relationship we were in, being in a small town with an existing reputation and wondering if you could have a volume practice like we visioned of having in a place that small. So we actually looked into a lot of other places. We looked back east where my husband's family's from, all around there. We looked in areas where we wanted a lifestyle. We both like being outdoors and hiking. And so we looked in Colorado and North Carolina and all these places. And I think ultimately for us, we knew we wanted to be close to family. We knew we wanted to start a family. So choosing somewhere that we could at least be nearby, we landed back in the town where we had done our preceptorship. And despite all the naysayers, don't do it, it's too small, you'll reach maximum growth, you don't know anybody there, how are you going to form a thriving business in a place where you have no connections? We just bet on ourselves and believed we could and landed back there.
Yeah. And I think that betting on yourself has worked out pretty nicely for you.
Yeah. I think all people who enter entrepreneurship have to have a little bit of that. You don't get into doing your own business and having your ideas and letting them flourish unless they're, even if you don't realize you have it, you really do have to have
the spirit.
Yeah, you do. You have to believe that at the end of the day, no matter what anyone says, you're going to get the work done and you're going to make whatever your dream is happen. And lucky enough for me, I have a husband who believes in me and I believe in him. And we just closed everyone else off and leveraged each other to move to those new heights. And it worked out really well. We had I think for this area being as small as it was a bit of a shock for everyone here of, whoa,
who are these people?
Yeah, coming in, doing things like way different not to knock Montana, but it's a little behind the times compared to most other states. I always say things happen here 10 years later, but there was no one here with technology in their office. They're like, everything is very old school here. And so bringing in an office that didn't have animals on the wall and wasn't like
no taxidermy up there.
Yeah. Every office here is like red carpet, green walls, leather furniture, taxidermy on the wall, and bringing just a different vibe to the medical sort of feel. And yeah, like a fast-paced volume practice, serving people a bit of a different way, leveraging neurology and technology was a bit of a wake-up call around here at that time. It's thankfully grown, but
yeah, cool. I love that.
Yeah.
So with you guys opening this practice together, how has that been building a practice with your spouse? And what do you think, if people who are listening to this want to start a practice with their spouse, what are some tips that you would give them?
I won't lie. It's not a cakewalk, right? There's its ups and downs, but I think truthfully, it's the best, getting to work with your best friend and your most trusted partner and the person who knows you deeper than just how you show up at work. I do think there's so many strengths that go into leveraging your personal relationship in a business way. And you learn along the way. I think the biggest thing for other people who are working together is knowing it will always be challenging, but you have to communicate probably more than anything. Something I'm sure a lot of people who work with their spouse go through is the whole, your life turns into one or the other, right? You can't figure out how to divide work and home. And what works for Andy and I best really is just that we're on the same page and we both share in our vision and where we want to go, and we trust each other and we talk about it constantly. But actually blending the two instead of dividing them
trying to keep them so separate. It's like, it doesn't exist. One is the other.
Yeah. You can't.
When you have a family, it's okay. Now our personal and our business is really connected because there's not a start and a stop. No. All one big thing. This is our life. And I think too, you guys do a really good job of this. I often find people that work together in the practice can potentially have it be to where their children become their excuse instead of their motivator. And you and Andy are very clear, like, you guys bust your ass and you do it every day and you're building a team so that you can get a little bit of that freedom back, which is great. You're pouring into them. It's so good. But you guys weren't like, oh, we have kids, like our dreams don't matter anymore. And I think that's also what probably brought us back around full circle too, is getting connected and being like, wait, there's people out there that have children that are still building really cool things that are still present with their families too.
Yes, absolutely. You really can't divide them. I think people have a misconception that you should or you can. And honestly, having a family definitely shakes the foundation, right? Mm-hmm. You like becoming a mom really changed a lot of the things I had priorities for. And it even changed the way that Andy and I work together, right? Mm-hmm. Suddenly, I needed time out of the practice and we're each other's best partner in the practice. It definitely has the most vibration and energy and excitement and fun when we're there working together. But me stepping out, I think it was hard for him, and because you're just losing that person really well. And the unspoken tasks of how to help each other in the day, learning to work with
that
other
you're
people.
Just doing.
Yeah, because you know each other on a different level. So you step up when you see them needing help and then suddenly having to rely on someone who wasn't that. It's like, they don't just know, oh, I can see by just a glance on Andy's face if he needs help or doesn't, or a lot of unspoken communication there. But yeah, me needing time away from the practice and just how do we pass off a lot of the things that I take on that he doesn't when I can't be there, or different people that we typically manage. And there's that dynamic, not to mention just becoming a mom in general. It really changes your priorities. I'm not trying to work 80 hours a week anymore. I have things that I want to do that aren't in the practice. And so needing to relearn, like, how do we keep this growing in a way that benefits us? And yeah, it's going to scale, but where can we still reach our goals and not have to give up time with our kids and being present together and making a ton of money and having impactful practice? Like, we want all those things, but there was definitely a learning curve when that changed.
What do you think aided in your guys' growth so much from like startup to now to where you're training other doctors and that sort of thing? For me, what I notice is you guys have a really dialed in lead to new patient and sales process. It's very clear, a very dialed in client journey. So can you share a little bit with that?
Yeah, I think growth for us, initially, it's just like hard work. When you're first starting out, you're just putting in the time, when you're just letting your sort of ideas and your work ethic carry you forward. And then you hit this initial hurdle of, okay, we did the hard work, and you evolve and you want it to look and feel a little bit different. Then I think that first hurdle that allowed us to grow the most was starting to value ourselves. Mm-hmm. And our initial intake with new patients was different than it is now. And it was good before, but I don't think there was as much value there for the patients. We started out, the model of practice we had was very wellness and family-based, which we love, but even our care plans looked a lot different, more longer term, lower intensity. And the disservice we noticed was people needed more for problems that we were under addressing, in mm-hmm. all transparency. And so then we really started to come back around to, okay, we need to be the doctor and we need to tell people, you know, what they need and give them recommendations. And you really have to relearn the value of the knowledge that you have that not everyone else does, and that the impact and the power of the service that you're providing them literally can reshape and change their lives. And when we really started understanding our own value and that the service we were providing was irreplaceable for people, we hit our first really momentous shift and change in how we delivered care recommendations. And then it was all refinement of like, how do we make this efficient? And we get to the point. We've learned a lot of what we do through coaching and having coaches on our team, but that process is efficient and it has been passed along to our team more. But the process typically is, when people come in, it starts with a thorough evaluation, because just like most things, if you get all the knowledge you need in the very beginning and you make the connection with the patient on truly what's driving them to arrive in your office beyond pain, we really want to get down to that emotional driver for them. And then you attach or define what it is that they want and what it is that's really making them want to have a change in their life to, hey, we can actually create a framework and a path forward for you. If you're really heavy with that in the first few visits, then everything after that is they're arriving at, I need and want this on their own. And so yeah, a lot of that intake is spent building relationship with them and trust and getting to understand the true motivator for why they're there. And then you're attaching the science and the physical results to it and explaining the path forward. And so then it's an in right from then.
I love that. One of the things that I see for businesses, especially like chiropractic offices, brick and mortars that are able to scale, is that they have a really dialed in lead acquisition. They have a dialed in path for the patient or the client, and then they have a dialed in retention system. And I know you guys have done all of that. But the thing that I love the most is that you have said, like, we had to work on our own worth. We had to work on, hey, we're providing this life-changing service and we're entitled and we're able and we're available for being paid a lot of money for that. It doesn't have to be a $25, $35 adjustment. I can charge a lot more for our services because we're actually changing people's lives.
Well, the craziest thing happened is when we first started and we're charging like $30 an adjustment, and we were able to see a lot more people. It brought a ton more people to our practice to have a lower value service price. But what was happening is people were not committing. They were half in, half out. And really and it goes around a profession. You hear people say all the time, we don't want to be the McDonald's of chiropractic or the Planet Fitness. And that truly is what it was. That there's definitely a balance, but when we started attaching more value to it, we held more value in ourselves. And then we actually started charging more. And then the people who are really ready to commit and make change, they stuck around for the whole process. They weren't, oh yeah, like 2 months in, it's good, it's not, and they'd filter away. And so we did start to see less people, but all the people overall who engage with the care, they stick it out and they're there for the results and they get the results because they go through the entire recommendation. And I don't know if that's a small town versus big town thing, but what's probably the biggest difference for us compared to other offices in a big place is that we don't have a revolving door of new patients. Like we walk around 7,000 generally, like we walk
around. You know, everybody at the grocery store.
Everyone. You're going to see people. Every interaction matters. And we have a lot of people, like people generally stay. Once they have picked the person that they've built the trust and the relationship with, they're going to be there. And I think a lot of coaching companies or frameworks out there say to make it a quicker deal. And we might spend a little more time in the first few visits with people, but it results in them sticking around longer because we've built a better relationship with them. And we do that intentionally because we know whether they choose to stay or not, like we are going to see them at the grocery store and probably three more times that day. And we don't want that interaction ever to be awkward or negative, like whether they came and went, we want to be their chiropractor, no matter what it is, if they're in our practice or not. And so I've approached a little differently because of that.
When you were looking to really scale, you had just had your second baby. And I love that story because Andy actually reached out to me and was like, hey, Steph, I see you're having this really cool event in Nashville. And I think I'm going to surprise. I can't remember if it was like your birthday or Christmas. His birthday. Yeah. He's like, I want to surprise her with a ticket to come. Can you give me the details? And so he bought you a ticket. It was really cool. But that was the first time that we've been able to get together and connect after we graduated. And so that was your first introduction back into what Kyle and I were creating and what we were doing. Was it Scale Up?
Yeah, it was. And yeah, I guess I, like you said, because Andy had given it to me, it wasn't that I wasn't following what you were up to. There was definitely, you were in my feed for sure. and so it was growing. It helps that we were connected prior, but I came to Scale Up without a lot of pre-knowledge about what it was going to be. And although I had a horrible time getting there. I think I showed up and I was late. My travel got delayed overnight. And I didn't even get the intro of, hey, this is what we're doing this weekend. I missed that whole part. And so I came in an hour into it. Like, I'm here, I'm sitting in the back. I was already going full. But I think what Andy knew that I didn't at the time was, a lot had changed for me after having two kids. And it wasn't my motivation for being at the practice, but I had a really different mindset around who I wanted to spend my time with. And I was struggling with being present physically at the office and wanting to be at home with my babies. And so he saw that and he knew that I just needed like a different coach, a different perspective, and sent me to Scale Up. And big things that changed for me there was just, and what attracted me most to it was the time shift. I think something you talk about all the time is that it can be done without sacrificing time away to be with the people that you want. Your catchphrase and for everything.
Legacy without sacrificing those who you're building it for.
Exactly. And that really spoke to me because it felt at the time like I was sacrificing my time for the people I was building it for. And that included my marriage and my kids. And so it just wasn't working. Coming to a Scale Up was a huge revelation and learning curve for me around buying back your time and evaluating it and seeing, I should be spending my time with certain tasks and how to delegate properly. And since that time, it's crazy here, but I'll riff some steps because I had to really go through them because it's... Scale Up was literally a year ago.
Yeah, it was like already a year ago, which is insane.
Shy 1 month shy of a year. But in that time, our practice was growing, but we hit our first six-figure months. So we did it in April. It was like about 3 months after that. We hit our first six-figure months. We did three of those at the end of last year. And that propelled us well over into our goal, our first seven-figure year. We opened a second location. We hired three doctors. We doubled our team. And so it was like this kind of crazy thing happened.
This catalyst.
It was this huge catalyst where suddenly you talk about being in a room of people who are driving that direction, going through those things. But it in a year's time, which really is a short period of time, we've completely changed our practice, like a whole brand new location, all these different doctors, and the financials have changed a lot as well. And so it was definitely revolutionary in thinking and mindset and learning some tools and strategies to really get us there. And even now, looking into 2025 and what's ahead, we're starting to think about how we want to spend our time in other ways, right? We're starting to think about a new business and moving in the online world and doing Cairo Couples, which is a new thing we're working on. So it's brought us to a place of being in our practice and not sure how it was going to go to growing it and doubling it immensely. And now even starting a whole brand new thing, which is crazy in a year's time.
And I think that's just such a testament to, because I know we've been working on these things behind the scenes, but it's such a testament to just the first step of getting in the room, changing up your environment, literally having a shift in even just 48 hours. Like, you went through all of this trouble to get there. It's not close to where you live in Montana, but you were like, let me figure it out. Let me get somebody for the kids. Like, I need to be in this room. Andy thinks I need to be in this room too. And just having an opportunity to really sit with your goals and your vision and get clear about them. And then also be like, okay, where am I the bottleneck? How can I shift my thinking? Because we have the control, or we have the ability to create whatever it is we want inside of our lives. And just being around other people who are saying that and feeling that and thinking that completely was able to transform. You already had a really successful practice, but how you were showing up was different. The things that you were thinking about, the questions you were asking, instead of being like, wow, this is going to be hard. It's no, I know it's possible. Let's figure out how to get there as soon as possible. And when you shift your thinking to that, truly amazing things happen. You guys have had so much growth in the last year. And I'm so excited for your guys' new venture to start to work with other Cairo couples who want to build a practice together and shorten their timeline while they do that. What is something that you think, if you were talking to a mom who was new in practice, because I have a lot of women that come to me and dads too, but the dads just aren't in my DMs as much as the moms that come to me and are like,
because of Kyle.
Yeah, they're scared of Kyle. That are just like, I'm really struggling with being both. What's one tip that you would give them?
I think just giving yourself permission to be both. Mm-hmm. I truly think that for a little while in the beginning, I was like more deciding on should I be here or there? And I forgot the and part. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of women, you have kids and the priorities change and you feel like it is impossible to do both. And there's a lot of guilt around, especially for me working with my husband. Like, I was having guilt being home with the kids because I wasn't in our practice supporting my husband in this business we grew together. And then when I'm at the practice supporting my husband growing our business, I have guilt that I'm not at home with my kids. And so I was struggling being torn in two ways. But when I started to open my mind to the and blending the two and allowing flexibility in both of those spaces, it really changed the way I thought about it. And so if you're trying to decide, can I be a mom and can I be a business owner? The answer is yes. And it's not I have to figure out these like really rigid chunks of I'm a business owner wearing this hat at this moment and I'm a mom wearing this hat over here. When you start showing up in your business as a mom, mm-hmm. and bringing your mom things into your business, it changes the way that you go about your business. And as you come back home and you're blending the two versions of you into one, it makes things a lot easier because you also realize you're working for your kids, right? And then you're working to also spend more time with them and they're making you a better business owner because you're showing up in your business with purpose for them. And so I think just realizing and giving yourself permission to do both is the first step. And then from there, it's just probably getting really good support on both ends, right? Having people in your business who understand you ultimately want to spend time with your family and kids. And then on the same on the back end, people who understand they're going to help support you to be able to be at work. And so finding help is a good part of that too.
I love that. I say I couldn't do anything without my team or without my nanny because I have to be in lots of places at any given time. And I cannot agree more, the more support, the better. And guess what you need in order to hire support? You need money. So you have to get really good mm-hmm. at the business part first. You can't hire amazing support if you don't have money. And so really, if you're in that earlier phase, it's just dialing in on the business. Don't take your foot off the gas. Just get crystal clear, have these goals, work towards them, make enough money so you can hire help. And then you'll have a little bit more of that balance that everybody craves. And ultimately knowing that balance is a lie, And the ones of us who are doing it all, building these crazy successful businesses and being moms and parents, are truly doing it with help and living this integrated life that has a lot of both of them.
Yeah. And they're also doing it too, of having the best time. Everyone will delay that, maybe, like, just to go on what you're saying, like, you have to not be afraid of moving to it, to have it all lined up ahead of time. I would say when we went through that transition was the busiest time in our practice. So it's always a good time too, to realize you don't need to wait for those things to happen. You just have to do it as you go, and things will continue to propel you in the right direction. So just
figure it out.
Go all in. Yeah, you will figure it out no matter what. So just go all in.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Hey there, do you struggle with using multiple softwares to run your office? Well, I have the perfect solution for you. Genesis Chiropractic Software by Clinic Mind. This all-in-one system and billing service is cloud-based and designed by chiropractors for chiropractors. Its automated workflows streamline every aspect of your practice, from efficient billing processes that increase your collections to easy-to-use dashboards and retention tools that will keep your patients compliant with your care recommendations. We all know it's not just about getting more new patients, but also keeping the ones you do have happy. If you're interested in improving your office with a proven platform that works and want things to stop falling through the cracks, check them out at genesischiropracticsoftware.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.